When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, it is Adam White filling in for Jared Whateley on this Anzac Day morning, but you can hear from Jared from 12 o'clock today live from the MCG with all the action, all the build-up to the big Essendon-Collingwood Anzac Day clash. Now, we've been talking a lot about last night's game, what we thought of it, how frustrated we were watching it on the couch as a neutral and even from Melbourne and Richmond fans. But Brenton Sanderson was in the box. He was watching it all live for AFL Nation, and I'm very keen to know what he thought of last night. Sando, welcome.
No, my pleasure.
Now, you were in the box last night with AFL Nation watching Melbourne defeat Richmond. It was a very interesting game. I'll say interesting, particularly the first half. Why was the game played the way it was?
Yeah, it was a strange old game, wasn't it? I mean, I think and during the call, there was just so many unforced errors, so many fundamental skill errors from both teams. And I don't know, in the call, I sort of thought initially maybe it was, you know, a little bit of dew on the ground, a little bit of pressure, the ball's a bit slippery. But I just think the pressure from both sides was right up. I thought the tackling was excellent. And the way that both sides obviously were really desperate with their front half defence was just awesome. But obviously then that resulted in a really scrappy, quite ugly game at times. And it was just so frustrating that no sides could connect inside forward 50 on the back of some really bad skill errors.
So if you were in the Richmond coach's box at halftime, would have you been happy with the way the game was played? Because they were going in as the underdog against Melbourne. But while they might not have been playing attractive footy, the fact that they were matching it with the Demons on the scoreboard, would have Adam Uzay been happy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it sort of felt that was probably not the only way, but it was one of the ways that they could win the game is if they got it in a contest, kept it quite ugly. And I mean, I thought their grunt was excellent. I mean, the way that they applied themselves to the contest was first rate. They just lacked that polish and that poise. They couldn't get the ball in the hands of guys like Bolton and Martin often enough. And I thought Martin had a really good first half, but they just lacked that sort of poise and class, particularly with that final kick inside forward 50. So they had the volume of inside 50s, but they just weren't able to get that sort of connection piece right. And don't forget too, Melbourne have got a pretty elite defence when you talk about May and Lever and the pressure that was up the field. So those guys were able to sort of come off and defend and intercept whenever they wanted. I just thought that the adjustment Richmond didn't make was the sort of lowering their eyes inside forward 50, finding that short option to sort of get a few more better looks at goal, I guess.
So going to the style that Melbourne plays, and they've made some adjustments from last year, but a lot of it is about getting a heap of numbers back in defence.
Yep.
And then they find it hard to go quickly because all their numbers are in defence. Is that a way forward for Melbourne that can be successful, or do you think they still have to tinker with that a little bit?
No, you've nailed it, Whitey. I think that's probably part of the issue that they've got at the moment is they are a defence-first team where they obviously limit the opposition's scoring capabilities. But then when they do win the ball, quite often they just don't give their forwards a chance to reset, to get their sort of six forwards back ahead of the ball. So at times last night, when they could have gone fast, they had to stop and pause and wait just to allow their forwards to get back ahead of the ball. So that's, I guess, you know, the chicken and the egg. What sort of comes first with Simon Goodwin? You know, it sort of feels like now sides have got to kick big scores. You know, you're looking at sort of 100 points plus now with those sort of top four, top six sides. You know, they're putting up some big scores, and if you can combine that, get the balance right with your defence, and that's, I guess, going to, you know, be their objective longer term. But yeah, frustrating at times last night. They were better after halftime, and obviously the game opened up, and they could find some mark targets. But again, I think they went over 130 marks again last night, which just probably means they're going a little bit sideways, a little bit short. They're not really taking the game on in offence as much as what they should be at the moment. They're playing a lot of tempo footy, which is sharing it around, making the opposition defend when they've got the ball, and yeah, waiting and being patient for those opportunities to go forward. But does that win in the big games. We'll have to wait and see later in the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to criticise in a way. They won last night and they're 5 wins, 2 losses. But I'm just interested in your thoughts on why do they play the way they do? Are they protecting parts of their game that Simon Goodwin isn't confident about? Or is it more just that's the way he feels the game should be played?
I guess it's just his philosophy at the moment, and he probably looks at his forward line and they've got some good young players there. They're probably still trying to get the mix right. You know, Petty just doesn't look like he's comfortable as a forward at the moment. He had another sort of low possession night as a key forward last night, and they dropped Ben Brown, and obviously Pickett came back into the side, which he had to. He's such an important player for them, but they have got a lot of kids still. So when you look at the squad last night, they're, I think it was 6 or 7 players in that team, you know, with less than 50 games experience, and most of them are less than 10 games experience. So they're sort of getting that balance right now with those sort of veterans who we know are A-graders, and now, you know, introducing some younger players into the side who are sort of probably learning this game style as well. There might be some moments of frustration for Demons fans, but yeah, I think ultimately if they get it right, it's a long season and they'll just keep tinkering as the year goes on. But yeah, I think the positives are there. I'd be taking a glass half full approach if I was a Melbourne fan. If they just get that connection right, they need some more inside 50s. Only 50 inside 50s last night, which is the same number as what Richmond had. So yeah, if they can find another 10, 12, 15 inside 50s, I think they're going to be a really serious contender later in the year.
I was going to ask you, you still see them as a genuine top four chance or a premiership contender based on what you've seen, not just from last night, but over the first couple of months of the season?
No, I do. I do. I still think they're a top four side, just with the quality through the midfield. You know, Max Gorn was exceptional again last night. They double teamed him most of the night, but he's just so good. I think he's in his own tier in the ruck. And if they keep their midfield fit and fresh, you know, obviously with Petraka and Oliver and Viney. And I thought, you know, Viney was just a little bit off last night, but there's just so much quality and class in that side. And yeah, if they keep bringing in these young, talented players, I seriously think they could be a real contender later in the season.
We're talking to Brenton Sanderson, part of the AFL Nation team here at SEN. Sando, Anzac Day, we're going to speak to Dustin Fletcher a little bit later on about what it's like to play on Anzac Day. We're in the coach's box only recently with Nathan Buckley on Anzac Day. How special was it to be part of one of the biggest days on the football calendar?
Yeah, it's almost my favourite day. I mean, you sort of think about obviously grand finals are what you crave, but the opportunity that Essendon and Collingwood get each year to be involved on one of the special days on the calendar, yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. You know, the energy in the stadium, the last post, you know, it's... It's just so good to be at the MCG. And if you're lucky enough to get a ticket, it's certainly a massive thrill to sort of be in the stadium. And we should get a great game today too. It sort of feels like, you know, Collingwood might be back close to their best. They had a, you know, great performance after the bye last week. And the Bombers, outside of that Port Adelaide game where they were beaten quite badly, you know, they've really improved. Their young midfield's getting it done. Some fantastic... you know, passages of play last week. You know, it looks like this could be one of the great Anzac Day clashes today, with two sides in you know, really, really good form.
It does feel that. So you feel that Collingwood are back from what you've seen against Port Adelaide, or might it still take a while before we see them at full throttle like we saw last year?
Yeah, they looked refreshed last week. I think the bike probably came at a good time for them. They got a sort of good training block in. They were able to get back to their best with their front half pressure. And I think they've been relying too much on transition footy and that sort of scoring from the back half. But I thought their front half game was back last week. That pressure in the forward line, they restricted Port Adelaide to only 84 marks, where they'd been giving up sort of 100 plus to the opposition, you know, to sort of start the season. So when you spend so much energy defensively, it just, you're sort of gassed out when it comes to, you know, taking the game on, and that real run and punch and exciting offense that we've been accustomed to with Collingwood last year, I guess, or even the last 2 years, it just hasn't been there in the first half a dozen games of the season. But we certainly saw that, you know, particularly after quarter time last week against Port. So Essendon, that's what they've got to try and slow down today. If Collingwood go fast, can Essendon defend them for four quarters? I think that's going to be the the big challenge. I sort of expect it to be pretty tight for most of the game, but my sort of gut feel, Whitey, is that Collingwood might just have too much run for them, particularly late in the game.
Yeah, so it's interesting with Collingwood because of, I guess, you know, it doesn't matter who the premiership team is, that you hold them to such a high standard that the following year. But it is a long season. You've got to be peaking at the right time. So if it was that Collingwood started the season slowly, that might have been an ominous warning to everyone else with what they did after halftime against Port.
Yeah, it is. It is always a challenge, and we know the season sort of gets longer and longer. You know, it's almost a 30-week block now when you look at from sort of the start to the finish, and with the buys and the gather round, and we had round zero this year. It's it is a slow burn, and obviously last year's premiers, they have the break, they celebrate, players go in a little bit later for surgeries and things like that. So we probably expected we wouldn't see the best of Collingwood till sort of round sort of 7, 8, 9, 10, and I think it would be unwise to write them off too early in the season. There's still too much talent there. We know their game plan stands up. If they're playing a front half game and defensively frustrating the opposition into turnovers in their front half, they're going to be a really hard side to beat again. So, as I said, I still love Essendon. I think what Brad Scott's done there, he's been coaching really well the last couple of weeks with a couple of little strategic moves when he's been tagging players and the way that they've sort of adjusted their game plan. They get Peter Wright back today, which will be a significant difference in their forward line. He's such a focal point for the Bombers. So, yeah, it all points to a really exciting Anzac Day game today.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And before we let you go, you talk about Collingwood and peaking at the right time and the other grand finalists from last year, Brisbane. Are there concerns for you with Brisbane? It's a big game tonight against the Giants. Are they getting too far behind, or have they got enough time to fix it?
No, they've got some problems, but I think the class is still there. They just, what was such a fortress for them last year at the Gabba, they've obviously undefeated there last year, and this year they haven't won a game at home. But they're sort of road form's okay. They had a really good game 2 weeks ago, so it's really hard to understand when it's all going to click for the Lions, but I'm not writing them off yet. It's just whether you think you can be a top four side, you know, when you sort of start the season as slow as what they have. They're certainly going to have to turn the corner pretty quickly. But as I said, I think the class is there, the game plan's right. It's just whether they can win some of those games at home, beat some of the top four sides away, and then all of a sudden they're back right in the mix.
It's such an even competition. Who knows what's going to happen? Sando, I really appreciate your time. I know you're doubling up because you did have a chat to Jared yesterday, but I was interested in what you saw last night because, as I said, watching on television, it was a hard watch, and I was very keen to know exactly how it all unfolded. Thanks for joining us today.
Anytime.
Brenton Sanderson joining us there talking about last night. You can hear Sando tonight. He's part of the AFL Nation team with the Giants taking on Brisbane in Canberra. That game after the Essendon-Collingwood game from the MCG.